Rafer?
Yes, Kristen.
Can we talk a little bit about trust for a moment here?
Trust? Sure.
Yeah, trust. It's a very important thing.
You can trust me.
You know who you can't trust? Somebody who says you can trust me.
Oops.
Especially a woman. A woman, we're told not to trust a man who says, honey, you can trust me.
Oh, I thought you meant you can't trust a woman who says that.
Oh,
see
snap.
How that works?
Snap. Snap.
Weird,
listen to
isn't
you.
It?
Oh, man. I'm very trustworthy.
Okay.
But who do you think is the most trustworthy here? I'm going to give you three little tidbits of who you can trust or
okay.
not trust.
Yeah.
This guy named Oscar.
Yeah, okay.
The Hollywood Foreign Press.
Mm.
Or Raspberry.
Oh, Raspberry, the Razzies.
The Razzies.
Boy, that's a tough crew you've got there going.
Who do you trust the most?
I mean, look, if I had to if I really had to throw down in a foxhole, I don't know, but it would not be the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, I'll tell you that much. Maybe the Razzies. Might be the Razzies, yeah.
You know what? You're right, probably. The Razzies are probably the most trustworthy. But,
yeah.
You know, I like Oscar.
You do?
Know.
Yeah, no, we
you
all
know.
Do. We all
I
do.
Love Oscar.
Sure,
I
sure.
I totally love Oscar. But you know why I'm asking all this.
It's awards season.
It's officially awards season.
Yeah.
The most magical time of the year, as we like to say in our jobs.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, the Oscar nominees were announced this week.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Razzie nominees were announced.
Yes, and let's not forget the Golden Globes on
this
Sunday.
This weekend, yeah! Golden Globes drunk.
Yes.
Drunk, drunk, drunk. The Drunk Awards. Yeah.
Right.
And we're going to talk about all that stuff today. But first, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
If only you trusted me. Why don't you trust me?
All right, Rafer. As usual, we got to get to trivia before we get to the
yeah.
meat of this thing. So let's remind everybody of last week's trivia. We had, you know, in the spirit of Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees, we did a 2 degrees of separation
yeah.
game. And the question was, take us from On the Road, which was that indie movie that came out last week based on the Jack Kerouac novel, On the Road to the blockbuster Titanic.
Right, 2 degrees.
2 degrees of separation. There are 2 ways to do this that I could find.
Okay.
And the first way was Kirsten Dunst is in On the Road.
Yep.
She's also in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind with Kate Winslet.
Who is in Titanic.
That is correct. And...
Yeah, the other way is even more interesting, I think.
Okay.
That was, you said that was Amy Adams, who plays Bull Lee's wife, I think, in On the Road. And she was in... Which movie was it with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Catch Me If You Can.
Catch, right. Who knew? Catch Me If You Can. And with Leonardo DiCaprio, who obviously was in Titanic. So there you go.
Yes. So those are our degrees of separation. We should do that again sometime.
I
like the degrees of separation.
I know, that's good.
It's
that's
fun.
Good.
And what's this week's trivia question?
Okay. This week, in honor of the Oscars, as many people probably know if you've been watching the news and the Oscar news, the Best Actress category, interestingly, has the youngest and oldest women ever to be nominated in that category. 9-year-old Quvenzhané Wallace for Beasts of the Southern Wild and 85-year-old Emmanuelle Riva for Amour. Our question to you is, who are the oldest and youngest Best Actress nominees to win?
Winners.
The winners. So if you know, 5717movies.
Or log on to facebook.com/moviedatepodcast.
All right, so should we talk about Gangster Squad?
Can I help you fellas with something?
Mind your business. We'll get to you in a minute.
We just want to talk to her, is all. Hey, we got a message for Mr. Cohen.
Look, I don't... It just seems like the lady doesn't want to talk to you.
What lady? She's just one of Mickey's pro skirts there, pal.
Ooh, that clip is so intriguing because the movie is so intriguing and it's so exciting. And oh my God, I hated this movie.
Did
I just
really hate this movie?
Yeah, that's right. I just played all my cards
you
right
sure
up front.
Did.
Oh my God, I shouldn't have done that. But I actually feel that we shouldn't even be talking about this movie because I hated
really?
This movie so much.
Okay.
But I know we have to because part of our podcast is we have to review movies. We can't just talk
that
about
that whole review movie
that
thing.
That whole thing. But no, I hated it.
Okay. I'll give you the listeners the brief rundown. It's Los Angeles, 1949, based on I would say, if not a true story, inspired by true events. It's based on a nonfiction book. Josh Brolin plays Sergeant John O'Mara. He's an uncorruptible, stubbornly uncorruptible cop in L.A. at a time when the whole town is being dominated by the ruthless real-life criminal kingpin, Mickey Cohen, played by Sean Penn. And John O'Mara gets the go-ahead from Chief Parker, who else but Nick Nolte, to assemble essentially like a black ops-style, off-the-books squad of officers who are going to essentially take down Mickey Cohen by any means necessary. You know, you are to make no arrests, says Nick Nolte. implying
all a bunch of very handsome square-jawed men,
yes,
by the way.
Ryan Gosling is in it.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Giovanni Ribisi, that's right. Robert Patrick, better known as the Terminator, is in this. Anthony Mackie, Michael Pena. Good cast. And so it's, you know, that's basically the story of how these guys, you know, finally wind up in a standoff, a giant standoff fortress-like shootout with Mickey Cohen. Now, what did you hate about this film?
Oh, there's so much. There's so much to hate.
Okay.
Well, I'll start just to be nice here by saying what I liked.
Okay.
I think the cast was outstanding.
What
a great group of actors.
Everyone's pretty. Everyone looks great.
Yeah. And also we should say, like, there are a couple of romantic interests in here. Kelly MacDonald, who I like quite a bit,
plays
Josh Brolin's wife.
Right.
And then we also have Emma Stone, who I just adore, who plays a love interest in a bit of a love triangle with Mickey Cohen.
Yeah, she's Mickey Cohen. She's Grace Faraday, Mickey Cohen's Moll, who takes a shine to Ryan Gosling.
Yes. So I do like that. And then I like nothing else about it.
You know,
I thought it looked like a really cheap knockoff of, do you remember that movie Dick Tracy starring Madonna? I think it was in the theaters for like 10 minutes back in the day. It was a terrible movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this looked like a cheap knockoff of that. Hmm. And that looked like a cheap knockoff of something like third grader would make out of construction paper and a cardboard box diorama to me. Hmm. So this was like a cheap knockoff of something really cheap. And yeah, it was so crappy looking. It just looked so low budget and silly. And the writing was cartoonish, but it was taking itself really seriously at the same time.
Yeah.
And if it was going to be that cartoonish, I think they should have just been a little bit more snappy about it. Hey, babe.
Every man has a badge. My badge is the city of Los Angeles. Straight out of Dragnet, that voiceover. Yeah, it's true that the movie is really corny. It's so corny that I almost felt like it could have been made in 1949. It's so totally unaware that we've already had like 50 years of gangster pictures since that day. So, yes, there is that. I actually thought the film looked quite good. I actually liked a lot of the costumes and the sets. I thought it was really well filmed. And I think Ruben Fleischer, the director who did Zombieland, which I loved.
Oh, I love Zombieland.
Yeah,
I didn't know that he did that.
Yeah, he did that. And so it's got a – I think it has – it walks – to me, it walked a nice line between sort of overdone comic book pulp and an actual serious gangster movie. Now, it flip-flops back and forth, and so there are some really laughable moments. My one objection, I think, is weirdly enough that Sean Penn is just terrible in this film. Speaking of Dick Tracy, wasn't he in Dick Tracy? Or
maybe.
Am I misremembering that?
Or it might just be that his wife was.
No, that's
he was married to that gal.
That's right.
What's her name again? That one.
Yeah.
That one.
Not the Divine Miss M.
She's a singer.
Madonna, right.
Oh,
that's,
Madge.
That's why
Madge.
I'm mixing that up. It was Warren Beatty and right with Madonna, but then, okay. Sorry, Sean Penn. Anyway, he's playing the villain, and he just can't make this villain into anything more than sort of a Pacino, Brando, De Niro kind of mushball where he's mumbling a lot and talking in this kind of a tough guy accent all the time, and his eyes are all droopy. And I think the character is not that interesting, and I guess Sean Penn just couldn't quite find anything interesting to do with it. But ultimately, it's interesting. My wife said to me, hey, it's monthly mommy movie night, you know, which she has with a bunch of her other friends who never get to see any movies. Should we see Gangster Squad? And what I said to her was, no, don't see Gangster Squad. You will only barely tolerate it if you're a guy.
Oh, that's a good way to put
and
it.
That is basically what I'm going to say to you. If you're a guy and you just love a stupid gangster movie with a lot of shooting and Ryan Gosling punching people and everyone getting shot in the face and the women look good and they say things like, you're a demon in the sack, then you'll be okay with this movie and you'll forgive it its many, many flaws. If you're not a guy, you're probably not going to like the movie.
I would say most guys probably aren't going to like it either.
Yeah,
most
you might
guys
be right.
As you said, they might be able to tolerate it.
I have a high tolerance for pulp. So.
Yeah, you have a high tolerance for a lot of crap. For,
Damn.
Okay. No, I didn't mean that. Trust me.
You did. You did mean it. That's the thing. You did.
I think you're fantastic, Rafer. I think, yes, let's just leave it at that. Oh, bad date. Bad
okay,
date.
Hey, okay. You know, passable date. Passable date. If you can see a matinee, go for it.
Oh, okay. If you can sneak in for free. No, even then, don't do it. It's a bad movie. Bad date. All right, but let's talk about the stuff we really want to talk about.
Let's talk about the Oscars.
Let's talk about Oscars. So, nominations announced this week. Seth MacFarlane, Emma Stone, looking glorious. I love that Emma Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Announcing all of the big nominations.
Yep.
And let's talk about some of the nominees and some of the surprises.
Yep.
First of all, we should say that leading the nominations, Lincoln. Steven Spielberg's biopic about our wonderful 16th president, who everybody knows I have a big crush on.
Yes.
Not Spielberg Lincoln. I have a crush on Lincoln.
Yes.
So that has 12 nominations.
Right.
Really close behind with 11 nominations is Ang Lee's Life of Pi.
Yeah. Surprising that that movie got quite that many nominations. I don't think it was shown a lot of love over the course of the year, but there you go.
No. And it has no acting nominations, which I'm not surprised by.
You're right. It's worth pointing out that many, if not most, of those nominations are in technical categories, visual effects, editing, things like that.
Yes. And then right behind that with 8 nominations each, surprise, Silver Linings Playbook.
Silver Linings Playbook.
And Les Mis.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so those are the big nominees this year. And then we have some surprises in some of the categories too. I think that one of the most notable things was that all of the guys nominated in the Best Supporting Actor category.
Yes. All every single one of them, previous Oscar winners. Alan Arkin for Argo, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings. Who am I forgetting?
Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master.
Right.
Tommy Lee Jones
for
Lincoln.
How could I forget?
And Christoph Waltz.
Yes, Christoph Waltz.
Django
right, for Django. Right.
Yes. And can I just say Philip Seymour Hoffman? He was not in a supporting role, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but that was a decision I think made by the Weinstein Company to cast him as the support for Oscar purposes.
That is a bunch of hooey.
Yeah, it's smart. Although I don't, you know, you could go either way. I was actually really surprised that Joaquin Phoenix even showed up in the Best Actor category for the Oscars, because I feel like in terms of award seasons, critics awards, just sort of the general buzz you hear, nobody has been talking about him at all this year. He's been completely overlooked. People raved
about
him.
Well, he should be. No, he should have been overlooked.
If it were me, I'd give him the vote.
I know you. I know you would.
I would have given the whole Oscar caboodle to the Master.
I know you would have, and you would have been wrong to do it.
I would have had integrity if I'd done that. None of this Hollywood politics business. But anyway, yeah. So, but there are some surprises. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Kwenzine Wallace. Really surprising to see her show up, especially with the whole SAG debacle earlier, where she and her co-star in Beasts of the Southern Wild, two first-time actors, were apparently not SAG members, and I guess were not paid the proper wages for actors.
And so I didn't know that part.
Yeah, so they were excluded from the SAG nominations. And people wondered if that would have any bearing or not on their Oscar chances. And lo and behold, here she pops up, 9 years old, Best Actress.
Yes. And wasn't she only like 7 or 8?
6.
When she made the movie? She was six when she made the movie?
6 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Amazing.
You know, I thought she was fantastic in the movie.
Oh,
you know,
great.
I didn't love that movie the way you did.
Yeah,
I know you loved that movie. But I loved her.
Yeah.
I thought she was outstanding in that
movie.
Yeah,
she's wonderful.
And then we have this other surprise. Not only do we have the oldest actress nominee of all time, Emmanuel Riva for Amour, but we also have Amour getting a whole bunch of nods, even though it's not an English language movie.
Right, right. It's an Austrian film, and Emmanuel Riva is a French actress. Michael Haneke, who's a real critical darling, but I certainly don't think he's ever produced many movies that Americans would recognize some cachet. I mean, maybe, but I don't
maybe. And that's a big maybe, too.
Yeah, and a big maybe. And Funny Games, the original Funny Games.
Ooh, I think, which I hated.
So, yeah, he's not – I was very surprised to see him more pop up in the Best Picture category.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, too.
And Best Director. Very surprising.
So – I just have to talk a little bit about who I thought was shafted, and you should talk about who you think was shafted.
Yes.
I was incensed that John Hawkes didn't get a nomination for The Sessions.
Yeah, you really liked John. Many people did. Many people really loved John Hawkes in that movie.
And I'm not saying it's a perfect movie. The movie's very flawed in lots of ways. That being said, you know I loved it. You know I cried through the whole thing. You know I thought that it was, despite all of its flaws, it was very smart and it had heart and it was very sex positive. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to sound like I'm like in college and like freshman 101.
That's
like
a big part of that movie, though, I think. But it's real.
Yeah, it's very real. And I thought he in particular was great. He's playing somebody who is mostly paralyzed, who doesn't want to die a virgin. He's in his late 30s. And Helen Hunt is his sex therapist, and she got a nomination.
She got nominated, right. Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah, but he didn't get a nomination. That's probably the one I'm most upset about, anyone being shafted this year in the nominees. What about you?
Well, and it's interesting. I'm a little surprised that instead it almost looks as though – so you've got Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln, obviously, who's going to win. Hugh Jackman and Les Miserables, we knew that. Joaquin Phoenix, a bit of a surprise. Denzel Washington in Flight. I figured he would get a nomination.
Really? You figured Denzel?
Oh, yeah. I figured he would get
– I know you loved that movie, but I didn't know you thought it was going to be an Oscar contender.
People talked a lot about his performance. I thought he was really good in it. I would never have said that he would win, but I figured he would at least get nominated. But it's almost as though they gave John Hawkes a spot to Bradley Cooper in Silver Linings Playbook,
yes,
which is kind of a stunner to me.
Really surprised by that. Really surprised because, you know I loved Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, me too. I loved it.
Against all odds, I loved it.
It's in my top 10 for the
me
year.
Me too. And everything that just shouldn't make sense about the movie, just it still somehow just seduces
a lot of
people into loving it who, like me, don't even want to love it. I went in just thinking, ah.
Yes.
And I loved that movie.
Yes.
But I don't think Bradley Cooper deserves a Best Oscar nod. I don't think he does. And frankly, I don't think that De Niro does either for that movie.
Yeah,
that's not
right.
De Niro's best acting. De Niro's been so much better in a lot of other things.
It's, the supporting actor category. I mean, once again, I think it's going to be Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln. And I think everybody else is just kind of, glad to get the nod and thanks very much. And, De Niro, I'm sure, is fine with that. He has his laurels. He doesn't really need this one. It's not going to be a big crusher for him. But, the Bradley Cooper, that's where outsiders, where the little guys like myself start wondering, how does Hollywood really work anyway? what promises have been made here? Who decided that that Bradley Cooper was going to get that Oscar nod? And in a less cynical way, you could see this as kind of a show of faith in him. Like, hey, we think you're going to be somebody, and here's an Oscar nod. You're on your way. That kind of thing.
Interesting. That's a nice optimistic spin on it.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, you're so sweet. But hold on. Who do you think's shafted?
Well, obviously, Catherine Bigelow. Not nominated for Zero Dark Thirty.
She's on every critic's list as one of the best directors of the year.
Critic, everyone. I'm pretty sure she's up for a Globe. And in fact, I think she may win that Globe. Outside chance. But interesting that she was not nominated. And as I've been saying on the takeaway, we were just on the show, as I've been telling anyone within earshot, I think the fact that she is not nominated is that's the linchpin in this whole thing that pulls the whole Oscar race apart and tips the whole cart toward Lincoln. And I think everything 10 out of 12, I think, are going to go to Lincoln.
But why wasn't she nominated?
I'm very curious
about like what you think is the reason why. This is ridiculous.
I think that – I don't quite know. I think maybe because that film has sort of a documentary feel to it and it isn't directed the way a normal Hollywood film is directed. I mean, Lincoln and Zero Dark Thirty are polar opposites in so many
ways. Lincoln is so Hollywood.
It's such a Hollywood film, and it's very it's feel good. It's all about the American spirit, and Zero Dark Thirty is basically the exact opposite, right? It's feel bad. It's all about American vengeance and complication and doubt and questioning. And boy, did we do the right thing? And I don't know. Was torturing those people cool? I don't know. Maybe. And it's filmed in this very straight ahead way that I think almost fools people into thinking it was kind of not really directed. That it almost just looks like the film kind of made itself, or like all you really had to do was just put the camera there and things kind of happened. And I almost feel like it was such a good directing job that way that people didn't even notice it. Also, they just gave her the Oscar for The Hurt Locker, crowning her the first female director in history. Do you want to give it to her again for the very next film?
Oh, God forbid a woman win more than one award in directing.
That's the one reason why I wonder if the Golden Globes might give it to her. They actually gave Barbara Streisand. She was the first woman to win a Golden
Globe. For The Mirror Has Two Faces?
No. Don't you wish? No. For what else Yentl. But Yentl? What else but
Yentl? She plays a very convincing 14-year-old boy, even though she's like 45 when she makes the movie. Yeah.
Right.
Papa, can you hear me? Papa, can you hear me?
Oh, gosh. I've forgotten about that song.
Oh, yeah. I love that
song. Thanks for reminding me, Kristen. Anyway, I don't know. I think there's an outside chance that Catherine Bigelow could win the Globe for Best Director. Probably not, but maybe.
But this is a good segue into the Golden Globes. Do you take the Globes seriously? Do you think they're a good predictor for the Oscars? Do you think that anyone cares?
I quite honestly, if really when push comes to shove, I don't take any of it seriously at all.
Oh,
I don't think any of it has almost any meaning whatsoever.
And you just tore a tiny hole in my heart. Oh my God.
And the Golden Globes almost least of all. My God. What are the Golden Globes?
How can you work this job and not love the awards
I love the award season. I love the guessing game. I love the horse race aspect of it. I love it the way that you love playing bingo or lotto or Mega Millions. But I don't. I put as much stock in the Oscars as I do into bingo.
What?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
and the Golden Globes also just seems like every year I just kind of think, man, that organization has done it again.
Oh,
we're all taking them seriously once again. And look, here's the thing. They're totally fun. The show is totally fun. People say dumb things. They make fools of themselves. If the host is good, the show is good.
And we have good hosts this year.
We have
Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
They could be really good.
I hope they are. I mean, they're obviously people who are very, very, very practiced at improv. They're very practiced at being in front of live audiences, doing live show feeds. They're kind of perfect. You don't want somebody who only does movies. You want people who are used to, you know, riffing off of each other and being live on TV while it's happening. So they're great for that. And
I have high hopes for them.
Yeah, I have really high hopes for them, too. And I also just I know no one takes the Globe seriously. I love the Globes.
Sure.
It's a drunk, awesome night. It's the underlings in TV hanging out with the movie stars. And nowadays, there's such a crossover between those two things anyway. Like a lot of movie stars and Oscar winners have their own TV shows now and vice versa. And, you know, someone's going to get drunk and fall on someone else. And Jack Nicholson, there's going to be a close-up on him checking out someone's boobs which, you know, all this stuff happens. You know? Calista Flockhart and Harrison Ford are going to hook up after she spills a drink in his lap. Yes, that's really happened. And there's so much stuff. They're going to call Christine Lottie's name for, you know, you just won Best Actress and she'll be in the bathroom.
Right.
All of these things happen at the Globes. The Globes are a fun, fun party.
I totally agree. And that's about as seriously as I take them. It's another fun, loosey goosey promo spot for Hollywood. That's fine. I'm totally fine with that. But you asked me who I trust the most. And I said, the Razzies.
And how can you say that when this year, leading the nominations, Twilight, Breaking Dawn, Part 2, with 11 Razzie nominations.
11 Razzie nominations.
And you liked that movie.
You know, it's funny,
yet you still trust the Razzies.
I just want to say that I liked that movie better than the other Twilights. Did I tell you already that, you know, I was complaining to my friends, you know, I lavish praise upon films like The Master and, you know, Rust and Bone and things like that. And nobody ever quotes me. The studios never quote me in their ads. I pick up the paper, I open it up, ad for Twilight. Huge, huge quote from me splashed all over it. And I just
really?
Kind of thought, great.
Oh, my God,
great.
Reefer, you have to bring that in so I can see it.
The one freaking movie you guys choose to quote me on, it has to be freaking Twilight.
Oh, man, I hope you have that framed.
No.
I hope that you blow it up into poster size and frame it and hang it in your bedroom so you can look at it every morning when you wake up.
Oh, anyway, there we go.
Oh, God, that's fantastic.
There goes my credibility.
So, but you don't think it's the worst movie of the year?
No, I don't. And among the other nominees, it would be a tough choice between the Oogie Loves and the Big Balloon Adventure, which was a children's movie that I had to sit through. That was rough. That was a rough experience. But really, the other nominee that is up that I would vote for in a heartbeat is Battleship. What a horrible, horrible
so bad.
Film. Like, truly horrible from the opening credits to the IATSE symbol at the end. I mean, it was just awful. That would get my vote.
I can't argue with you over
can't.
That.
It's
just an unbelievably bad movie.
Yeah.
But there were so many bad movies this year. There were so many terrible movies this year.
And also up for Razzies, Eddie Murphy's comedy, A Thousand Words. And that was, boy, that was a bad movie. And That's My Boy, the Adam Sandler comedy also.
You loved that movie.
No.
I know you did not love
that movie. That was also really bad. That A Thousand Words was almost so bad that it seems not right to even like make fun of it and make jokes about it. It almost seems like you should just sort of like take your hat off and have a moment of silence for that film. That was pretty incredible. It's much more fun to remember things like Battleship.
But you know what I think the worst movie of the year is. But I probably shouldn't say it because we're just going to get more hate mail.
Which is what?
The Hobbit.
Oh, Kristen.
The Hobbit was so bad.
Kristen,
I am opening a can of worms. I should not do this. I shouldn't do it. We just had to answer a whole bunch of hate mail last week about The Hobbit.
And all our listeners are going to feed those worms to you, Kristen.
Oh,
good grief.
God, it was so bad.
Why
it was
do
so
that?
Bad.
Yeah, I understand, but I don't think you can. I don't know. That's not the worst movie.
Okay.
Anyway,
you
all
know what?
Right.
I'm going to take you out back, and I'm just going to let it. No, I'm going to force you to watch it again, and then we'll see if you disagree if I force you to watch it a couple more times.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So let's go out. Let's go out. We'll restate our trivia in honor of the Oscars. This year's Best Actress category, Leading Actress, has both the youngest and the oldest nominees ever, Quvenzhané Wallace at 9 years old and Emmanuel Riva at 85. We're asking, who are the oldest and youngest to win in that category? If you know, give us a call, 5717-MOVIES.
She's so scared, so very frightened. Anything could happen right here tonight. Beautiful girl.